Love with Accountability is deeply personal as it is political. I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. 5 years ago, I started writing texts and emails to my parents demanding love with accountability.
I don't take responsibility at all. I take responsibility always for everything.
I'm a very stable genius.
I am the chosen one.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine, I'm Greg Gordon. Latvia legislates bias against queer families, an honored writer unmasks child sexual abuse, and one final salute in song to the Orange Menace. All that and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
And I'm Marcos Nájera.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending January 16th, 2021. Latvia's constitution will now specify that a family is based on marriage between one man and one woman. The parliament passed the amendment by an almost 2-to-1 margin on January 14th. A queer-positive November ruling by the country's constitutional court prompted the move. That case involved the non-biological mother of her lesbian partner's child being denied postnatal leave, a routine matter for heterosexual couples. The court declared that government officials have the obligation to protect and support families headed by same-gender couples. Section 110 of the Latvian Constitution will now read, "The state protects and supports marriage, a union between a man and a woman, a family based on marriage, blood relation, or adoption, including the right of a child to grow up in a family based on a mother, woman, and father, man." Supporters cited the country's Christian values. According to a local report, the amendment was backed by 13 Latvian religious denominations. Opposition lawmaker Maria Golubeva criticized the amendment as a call for discrimination and a mockery of the principles of a democratic state. The vote in the Baltic nation exemplifies a troubling wave of homophobic actions led by Poland and Hungary that have infected Eastern Europe in the past several months. Christine Garina of the European Pride Organizers Association tweeted that, "Today's vote in the Latvian parliament threw us back to the times when being an openly homophobic politician was a thing to be proud of."
Queer families took fire in the Czech Republic this week when the Constitutional Court rejected a proposal to amend adoption laws. The Prague Regional Court had suggested that Czech laws banning adoption by same-gender couples abroad or domestically failed to recognize factual and legal reality. Only married heterosexual couples can adopt. Same-gender Czech couples in registered partnerships have no adoption rights. The case involved a Czech citizen and a citizen of Trinidad and Tobago who live in New Jersey. State courts there approved the gay couple's adoption of two Czech children. The U.S.-based couple then asked a Czech district court to recognize the adoptions to fend off any legal complications that may arise when the family visits the Czech Republic. The Constitutional Court upheld the district court's decision that private international law does not allow the approval of actions that violate Czech law. We Are Fair is a leading LGBTQ advocacy group in the Eastern European nation. They called the Constitutional Court decision further proof that full civil marriage should be opened to same-gender couples. A proposal to do that is currently stalled in the lower house of the Czech parliament.
You poked the bear this time, you little You poked the bear. You understand what I'm saying? You got 80 million people coming after you, you commie little.
If you impeach him, civil war is on, buddy.
Phone messages like those were left for openly gay U.S. Congressman David Cicilline, lead sponsor of the single article of impeachment against U.S. President Donald Trump. Such recorded rants, revealed by CNN, were received by leaders of Trump's historic second impeachment and the handful of Republican lawmakers who supported it. Democratic Rhode Island Representative Cicilline charged Trump with incitement of insurrection for fomenting the siege at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Out New York Congressman Mondaire Jones also participated in drafting the article. Virtually every other LGBTQ member of the U.S. House of Representatives joined the vote for impeachment. Chris Pappas of New Hampshire, Sean Patrick Maloney and Richie Torres of New York, Mark Pocan of Wisconsin, Angie Craig of Minnesota, Mark Takano of California, and Charisse Davids of Kansas. All House Democrats and 10 Republicans came to a total of 232 votes recommending Trump's removal from office in the most bipartisan impeachment in U.S. history. Capping off his obstructionist legacy as Senate Majority Leader, Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell is refusing to allow the constitutionally mandated trial until the day before Joe Biden is inaugurated president. McConnell then relinquishes his post to New York Democrat Chuck Schumer. Indications now are that the Senate will conduct the impeachment trial against Trump even after he leaves office. A conviction could still deny him the chance to run for any public office again.
President-elect Biden continues to fulfill his promise to have the most diverse administration in U.S. history, and that includes a number of openly LGBTQ people. Gautam Raghavan has been named Deputy Director of the Office of Presidential Personnel. He'll have a key role in identifying, recruiting, and vetting more than 4,000 political appointments across the federal government, according to a press release. Raghavan is a gay Indian American who served as the Obama administration's LGBTQ liaison. Another Obama administration veteran has been tapped as White House Deputy Counsel for President-elect Biden. Stuart DeLeary was Obama's acting U.S. Associate Attorney General, the most senior openly LGBTQ official in the history of the U.S. Justice Department. Reports are circulating that Biden will pick Obama's U.S. Ambassador to Denmark, Rufus Gifford, as the State Department's chief of protocol. He would help rebuild the diplomatic relationships that Donald Trump has all but destroyed during his 4 years in office. While on the job, Gifford and his husband, Stephen DeVincent, starred in a Danish reality TV series. Queer D.C. cabinet member Jeff Mehrabian has been named special assistant to the president for climate and science agency personnel. Karine Jean-Pierre and Pili Tobar will be on the White House communications staff. Carlos Elizondo will be the White House social secretary. Former presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg of South Bend, Indiana, has already been announced as Biden's pick for transportation secretary, pending Senate approval.
Queer Canadian youth took a hit this week from the Toronto Roman Catholic Archdiocese School District. Its board removed resources for Toronto LGBTQ students after a notoriously homophobic columnist claimed that the materials were pornographic. Failed Canadian politician Joe Volpe charged in his Italian language newspaper Corriere Candice that the LGBT youth line was full of smut and porno paraphernalia. Youthline offers free online resource information, as well as confidential peer telephone, text, and chat support for Two-Spirit and LGBTQ youth in the province of Ontario. Its executive director, Berka Gupta, received an email message from the school district on January 8th. It cited inappropriate material with a link to the article and notified her that students in some 198 Greater Toronto Area schools would no longer be able to access the site. A school district spokesperson issued a statement a few days later, stressing its support for LGBTQ students. It described the site's unavailability as temporary, pending engagement with Youthline staff. A number of Canadian social justice groups have condemned the removal, even if it's only temporary. They include White Ribbon Canada, PFLAG York Region, and Italian Canadians for Black Lives. Pride Toronto denounced the shameful action in a tweet, calling it yet another example of systemic homophobia and transphobia that continues to run deep within the publicly funded school board.
Israel's trans people may be allowed to change their legal gender on ID cards and other official documents, even if they have not undergone gender reassignment surgery. A joint committee of the Justice and Social Services Ministries has recommended that those over the age of 18 would simply need a declaration authenticated by an attorney or from a professional providing treatment to get the authorization. Trans teens aged 15 to 18 could also file the request with the backing of both parents. Welfare officials may also be asked to weigh in on the matter. The recommendations order hospitals and healthcare facilities to have at least one staff member trained in trans awareness. Staff must use a trans person's correct pronouns regardless of how their current official documents identify them. unisex public facilities, or permission for trans people to use gender-specific spaces that conform to their gender identity would be required. While opposition from Orthodox Jewish and conservative Christian and Muslim lawmakers is expected, a member of the committee told Israel's Haaretz newspaper that most of the recommendations are already being put into effect.
Finally, it was only a matter of time and location. An Orthodox Jewish rabbi in Israel warned his social media followers this week against getting vaccinated for COVID-19 because it could turn them into homosexuals. Rabbi Daniel Azor cited specious scientific mumbo-jumbo to support his stupidity. The rabbi also called the World Health Organization and vaccine manufacturers Pfizer and Moderna criminal organizations. He claimed that the virus and the vaccines made to combat it are the creation of a malicious global government of Freemasons, the Illuminati, and of course, Bill Gates.
That's News Wrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending January 16th, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
You can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Michael Taylor Gray. Stay healthy.
And I'm Marcos Najera. Stay safe.
It's a dirty word, the word impeach. It's a dirty, filthy, disgusting word.
We have won this election in Georgia, and there's nothing wrong with saying that you've recalculated.
No quid pro quo.
I did nothing wrong.
One more Auld Lang Syne later in the program. LGBTQ people are used to wearing masks to disguise sexual orientation and gender identity. There are also masks worn to hide the child's sexual abuse many of us suffered. West Hollywood's first poet laureate joins us for a conversation with an author who tears both kinds of masks away.
This is Stephen Rains talking with Aisha Shahida Simmons about her groundbreaking book, Love with Accountability, Digging Up the Roots of Childhood Sexual Abuse. It has won a 2020 Lambda Literary Award. Gloria Steinem calls it a brave and healing anthology of truth-telling about sexual abuse within Black families. Please welcome Aisha Shahida Simmons.
Aisha, so I guess my first question for you is, how did this book come about?
Yeah, well, first, thank you, Stephen, for the invitation. Really happy to be here. So Love with Accountability is deeply personal as it is political. I am a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. 5 years ago, I started writing communiques, texts, and emails to my parents demanding love with accountability. So I was signing every email, every text, like love with accountability. My love for them would not shield them from being accountable for their bystanding roles to my childhood sexual abuse. They are activists, and they still are, and traveled extensively in this country and internationally. My grandparents, I stayed there a lot, and it was my pop, my grandfather. He's not my biological grandfather, but he's the only one I ever knew on my father's side. He molested me for 2 years, and I told my parents what was happening, and they didn't remove me from the situation. So that was 1979 to 81, and it wasn't until really 2015 when I started saying we have to talk about this. Now, I want to be clear that there was conversations about this is what Pop-Pop did to me all of my life. So it wasn't that this was the first time, but in 2015, it was when I realized their role by not removing me from the situation. So that's what Love with Accountability, that's how it came out of communiques with my parents.
And you had wrote in Queer and Sexual Violence, I think you even mentioned it with Love with Accountability, about the mask you were wearing.
Yes. The anthology Queering Sexual Violence, Radical Voices from Within the Anti-Sexual Violence Movement, edited by Jennifer Patterson, I wrote a piece called Removing the Mask and Afro-Les Femcentric Silence Breaker. I wrote that essay chapter before Love with Accountability. So I learned how to wear a mask of trying to cope, right? On the one hand, there's this person who would terrorize me at night for 2 years, not only at night. And then there was also this place that was home that provided this kind of, you know, heteronormative nuclear home with Nana and Pop Up at home, because my parents have been separated since I was four. And I also just want to say the complexity of it. When my grandmother, she developed Alzheimer's. And so for the last 10 years of her life, he took care of her around the clock. Because of him, my grandmother never set foot in a nursing home. And the only time she was in the hospital was in the last 3 days of her life. And then in 2010, he became gravely ill, and I was very pivotal. I'm not a medical professional, I want to be clear, but pivotal in saving his life in terms of working with one of my cousins to get him to the hospital, and then was just by his bedside up until my father, who lives in Budapest, Hungary, and my aunt could get there. So I was the point person.
What did accountability look like for you? And then also, what did it mean to have accountability represented in the collection?
For so long, I did a lot of anti-rape work. I have a film, Know the Rape documentary. Both my parents are in the film and featured prominently because my mother is a survivor of sexual violence. My father is an advocate. And so I had them in there. But at that point, we hadn't even dealt with their bystanding roles to my abuse. So when you ask the question, what does accountability look like? I think it's really acknowledgement of the harm that they caused. For my mom, 2016 was when she began to really pull back those layers and do this work with me privately, mother, daughter, but then she also did it publicly.
Yeah. And also one of those contradictions is your relationship with your father. He was really accepting of your lesbian identity. You did the short documentary In My Father's House, which is all about that. And yet he wasn't initially as accepting of the information when you were removing the mask.
He recognized, as he said, that I wasn't doing the things that heterosexual people are doing. He came to me and was just like, I think you're struggling with your sexuality, and I want to find someone for you to talk to. And he was like, and I want to find a Black lesbian. In 85, that's a big thing when there's no, you know, there's no internet. And so he asked a woman, Cheryl Downton, to talk to me about being a lesbian. I am a survivor. In addition of my child molestation, I also was raped my sophomore year in college. And when that happened, I was raped in Mexico, and then I went to Spain with him. He really wanted me to not be afraid to travel, and also just to get away from the trauma of it all. And so when I started doing Love with Accountability is when things got really rough and rocky between he and I. And so when I started doing the book, which I asked him to contribute to, he did not. That was very, very hard because he was, for me, someone who was always breaking silences and championing human rights. This past spring, he, my mother, and I have really done the hard conversations, the accountability conversations, and I'm really grateful.
I love in the collection that the lesbian poet and performer, Nina Joy, says that she felt so burdened with the task of writing about her childhood sexual abuse. And she said that for her, the challenge was that jumping into the volcano and praying that I came back without getting burned alive. And I wondered, how do you keep doing this work without getting burned alive yourself?
I have have been in therapy for 28 years with the same therapist, and I have been meditating for 17 years. So those are two big things, two big anchors in my life. And I still get burned alive. I learn tools to calm the flames. I would also say that community of like people like Nina Jay, of survivors and who are doing this work so that we have places to be able to go and be. I'm very fortunate as an independent culture worker and artist that my schedule was my own since 1998. So if I didn't have it, in terms of to get, I just wouldn't work that day or do anything. So I didn't have to like report to a job. So that's a privilege. Those kind of parts of the puzzle have kept me from burning alive.
That was Black lesbian writer and activist Ayesha Shahida Simmons. The title of her anthology is Love with Accountability, digging up the roots of childhood sexual abuse. She was interviewed by Stephen Rains.
I'm Stephen Fry. The great Oscar Wilde once said, "The only sin is stupidity." That is why it is imperative that we stay as informed as possible. An excellent way to do this is to listen to This Way Out, the international radio program for all our sexually diverse communities.
You may have your own in mind, but here's my playlist for the globally anticipated departure of the current resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
This is really not a news conference. It's not a speech. It's not anything.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
We have won this election in Georgia, and there's nothing wrong with saying that, you know, that you've recalculated.
KGB playdates and absolute power. Porn stars and playmates who charge by the hour. Puppets at Fox News who dance on his strings. These are a few of your favorite things.
I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens.
You think we're stupid? You think we're fools?
Na, na, na.
We have to get the best people.
Very fine people on both sides.
That call was perfect. And even the Ukrainian government put out a statement that that was a perfect call.
I believe that the president has learned from this case.
What do you believe the president has learned?
The president has been impeached. That's a pretty big lesson.
It was all a hoax.
So why do you have that feeling that he has changed, that he learned a lesson?
Well, I may not be correct on that. It's more aspirational on my part.
It's a disgrace. To me, it's a dirty word, the word impeach. It's a dirty, filthy, disgusting word.
No quid pro quo.
I don't take responsibility at all. I take responsibility always for everything.
What are the odds, if left in office, that he will continue trying to cheat? 100%.
So what are we going to do here, folks? I only need 11,000 votes. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break.
My administration will take all necessary steps to safeguard our citizens from this threat.
We have more cases than anybody in the world because we do more testing. If we didn't do any testing, we would have very few cases.
I'm not a doctor, but I'm like a person that has a good, you know what?
I see the disinfectant knocks it out in a minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection?
States are supposed to be doing testing. Hospitals are supposed to be doing testing. We're the federal government. We're not supposed to stand on street corners doing testing.
I don't know. Look, Brad, I have to find 12,000 votes, and I have them times a lot, and therefore I won the state.
You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. Baby, you're no good.
You know, in April, supposedly, it dies with the hotter weather.
It's going to disappear. One day, it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
Death is death. We don't want people dying in this country. And we've done a great job. We've done a great job.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
I'm proud to tell you that was actually my sick idea.
Goodbye, baby. You're driving me crazy.
Goodbye.
You thought you had me baited, but I was infatuated. Things ain't what they used to be. You can't do a thing for me.
So long.
I give up my salary. It's $450,000 presidential salary. Usually I give it to drugs.
I'm a very stable genius.
I am the chosen one.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Since the founding of our nation, many of our greatest strides, from gaining our independence to abolition of civil rights, have been led by people of faith and started in prayer.
I said the word would instead of wouldn't.
It's a little bit sad.
The other thing, dead people. So dead people voted, and I think the number is in the close to 5,000 people.
The actual number were two.
Just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
The best is yet to come.
I call it transition to greatness. It's going to be transition to greatness.
Early warning signs of mental illness.
I'm guilty. I'm guilty.
I like to obey the law.
It'll start getting cooler. You just watch.
I wish science agreed with you.
Well, I don't think science knows, actually.
Many criminal events here. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a, you know, that's a criminal offense. Because we won the state, and you know, you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan, your lawyer. That's a big risk.
This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong.
Get them out of here. Get the hell out of here.
Hit the road.
You know you're a fake. Your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake.
The civilized world must send a clear and unified message to the Iranian regime. Your campaign of terror, murder, mayhem will not be tolerated.
It is what it is.
This is like Watergate, only it's worse.
I did nothing wrong. Believe me. Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me. Believe me.
So tell me, Brad, what are we going to do? We won the election, and it's not fair to take it away from us like this.
The current margin is only 11,779.
So I just want to find 11,780 votes. That's a criminal offense.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing, and stolen by the fake news media. That's what they've done and what they're doing.
Let's have trial by combat.
We will never give up. We will never concede. We're going to the Capitol to take back our country. So we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. And we fight. We fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
The president has instigated a riot.
To Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy.
Our problems just a toy balloon. They'll be bursting soon. They're just bound to go pop.
Whoops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Whoops, there goes another problem.
Whoops, there goes another problem kerplop.
Just a rude person you are.
This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Times are tough, but I want you to know that help is on the way.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Michael Taylor Gray and Marcos Nahara, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Stephen Rains, with production assistance from Brian DeShazer and Rebecca Drapkin. The Beatles, Randy Rainbow, Steam, Linda Ronstadt, Tina Turner, Patti Smith, Ray Charles, and Frank Sinatra performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors Paul Bannon and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 3UGE Alexandria, Victoria, KPFT Houston, Texas, WPSU Bradford, Huntington, Clearfield, Altoona, Kane, Du Bois, and State College, Pennsylvania, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.